Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
First reading is from Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Word of God, word of life. A reading from Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself was tested by what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because there are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. All through the season of Advent and through Christmas, this year you have been hearing the story as told by Matthew. Matthew is the only gospel that tells us about the Magi, most likely Zoroastrian priests from Persia who somehow discerned in the stars an astrological sign announcing the birth of a new king to be a king of the Jews. These Magi regarded this birth as so auspicious that they embarked upon a dangerous and difficult 1,000-mile journey in order to kneel before the child and present their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But because the Magi were looking for a child born in Judea, it made sense for them to inquire to find this place by going to the capital, to Jerusalem. And so when they arrived with this portentous news, how do you think the current king, Herod, responded? Really, how do you think he responded? Not well. He was frightened. Are you surprised at that? Frightened? And Herod's fear of a baby shows just how fragile his ego was. The citizens of Jerusalem were well aware of how dangerous life can be when a powerful ruler has a fragile ego. So all of Jerusalem was on edge, anxious about what this paranoid king might do. And what Herod did was to commit one of the greatest crimes in the Bible, the slaughter of the innocents. Matthew tells us that Herod sent death squads to Bethlehem with the ghastly instructions to kill all male babies under the age of 2. Now, this is the story that we leave out of the Christmas readings year after year because it is too much, way too much to bring to mind in a season when we celebrate children and families and joy. And yet, it is a story that has roots deep in our faith. Surely this brings to mind for you the story about the Pharaoh in Egypt, who did the same thing when threatened by the birth of a baby who was supposed to deliver his people. And this baby Moses was kept safe in the bulrushes. You remember that story. So in a similar matter, an angel warned Joseph in a dream to take his family and escape. But we gloss over what happens to those left behind in both stories. And the slaughter of the innocents is what it is called. Now, the historicity of these stories is scant. Perhaps the soldiers just say they carried out Herod's orders, and with no evidence of a holy child anywhere to be found, did they go back home and live their own families even more, perhaps? There are no details. But there is a truth in both of these stories that have echoed throughout time and speak a truth to us today. First truth that we learn is that there will always be tyrant kings. It's not just Herod. It's not just Pharaoh in Egypt. It's not just Caesar in Rome. But follow the trail to our own times to see the forces of brutality and authoritarianism will always raise their ugly heads. There are those in this room who have had lives changed by the rule of Hitler and Mussolini, of Franco and Salazar, of Pinochet and Putin. It's tragically true that most people have lived their lives in the time of tyrant rulers somewhere in the world. And who is it in these times that are most at risk, not safe at all? It is children. Just look at the drone strikes in the Ukraine that have gone awry, or perhaps even worse, aimed at shopping malls and at historic sites and at churches, at places where children play. Children are not safe in war, not safe in poverty. That's why this holy family had to flee and go to Bethlehem, from Bethlehem and get away from this violent despot and seek refuge. And so any refugees seeking solace in our own time, I mean, surely they are a holy family that we see. Because we know nothing of the circumstances of Mary and Joseph in exile, except that in the worst of conditions, that they had to protect that baby and love that baby and keep that baby safe and hold up a light for that baby and be the light for that baby. And so that means that the heart of this reading for today, the question that comes to us is, are the children safe? Are our children safe? It was in Advent, 2012, a decade ago. I woke up on a Friday morning in Advent with news coming from Sandy Hook, Connecticut. And all I could pray was, no, not children. Please not children. That's all I could think. The only prayer that I could voice. I'm a father and I love my children so much. And I'm a teacher and I love helping children learn. And I'm a pastor and I love helping families, good families. And I love the season of Advent above all others. And I always want to look for the light in the midst of darkness. But the darkness on that Friday, 20 children, 6 adults who were teachers, caregivers dedicated to children. And in the dense darkness of that day, the only thing I could do was pray and to light a candle. And then to do it at church on Sunday, to say prayers, to light candles, 26 candles all across the front of the church. To remember the hopes and dreams and joys of those mothers and fathers and of those grandmothers and grandfathers and of those still today. Because, you know, those were not the last candles we would light. Not the last prayers we would say, even though I remember at the time the mantra that everyone said was never again. But then since that day, never again has been made a lie 54 times. 54 school shootings in the last 10 years, 101 children killed and 156 more injured. Are forever changing the lives of thousands more. But you know, it's not just in schools. It's in our public life together. It's on our streets. It's with children injured everywhere. And in the sacrifices of children's learning and developing and thriving during the pandemic years, and even in our churches that have failed to focus on children, are our children safe anywhere? Well, there is a village on a shore of a large lake in Kenya. And there they know that it takes a tribe to raise a child. It takes a whole tribe to care enough for the children, to believe children are important, that it is the first thing that they say when greeting one another. They don't say, hello. They don't say, hi, how are you? They don't say, how'd you sleep last night? But they have one word that they use in greeting every time they pass. They say, how are the children? Imagine what that would feel like all day long, wherever you go, and whoever you are talking to, the first word is, how are the children? And then look at how this tribe lives. And you see there on that lake that that's where their life centers. A boat out on the lake. Tea is where their life comes from. The water they drink, that's where their food comes from. They go onto the lake in small boats and they fish. They use nets. They travel then to tribes on other sides of the lake. And then they come on safely to the harbor of their tribe. And there they live and there they grow. And there they say, how are the children? Imagine teaching the tribal skills necessary to live in that village, how to fish, how to row and sail, how to find home again, how to share, how to encounter others. But imagine how frightened and how vulnerable you would feel the first time you floated on your own out onto the sea. You would feel like a child on a sea so wide, in a boat so small. It's how children feel and how we feel. But the wisdom that would see you through would be the wisdom of the tribe who taught you anchors of strength and gave you sails of hope. I think that is what we need to do in our tribe of faith. Give our children anchors of faith by studying the Bible, by living in a good community with one another, by learning how to live in this world, by learning how to pray and ground ourselves in the strength of God. And then to give each child wings of hope, freedom, a loving push out to the sea, always maintaining a safe harbor to come home to, a harbor with a light that shines in every darkness. Is that light shining in our midst? That light that guides our children, whoever they are, wherever they may go, a light that always lights the way home. Is that light burning? This can only happen if we are strong enough to stand up to the despots of our time, to stand up to those forces that create refugees in the world, to stand up for children today as they struggle in school, as they face bullies, as they endure fractured families and neighborhoods, as they seek simply to play and learn and grow and thrive. Just two Sundays ago, I was here right in this sanctuary, sitting right over there on the front row. And I saw one of the most beautiful things. I saw a holy moment that was so true and deep. It had started just a little bit earlier when Pastor David came to the steps to read a story to the one child who was here. It was a little boy over here at the table. And he was very happy at the table and not the least bit interested in leaving that table and coming over here, not wanting to look at the book, to hear a story. And yet David carried on, gently reading and engaging the mother and the son in that time, and smiling and showing that he cared for them. The moment passed, but later, during the last hymn, I noticed that David went back over to the family. He went over there and sat, and he reached out to the little boy who looked at his mother for guidance, because they were standing up to sing a hymn, and the mother said, "It's okay. He's okay. Go ahead." And the little boy came into David's arms. And this would have been a moment enough for me. But David started moving to the music, just sort of swaying back and forth. And the baby was so engaged at this point that suddenly David started dancing. I mean, dancing all around, and the baby was so enchanted. And all I could see in this moment where we had gathered to celebrate the importance of one baby named Jesus, that before our eyes, one baby here was safely held, was lifted up, was celebrated. Now, that moment doesn't do away with the hard parts of our world, of our lives. Refugees still, poverty still, tyrants still, but it lifts up and shines a light on the everyday, gorgeous, simple ways, simple joys that we can have, that we can bring about in our lives that are even more powerful. I mean, in that moment, I was filled up and Christmas came alive and life was worth living. It's time to start a new year. May we begin in love with one another, in strength and unity with one another, with a commitment to welcome every child of God into this place, and to always ask, are the children safe? Are the refugees cared for? Is our church a holy and welcoming place? Can we be a shining light this year? Might we even reach out to one another seated here, reach out and dance together? Let's do it. Let's begin anew today. I guess we need to say it one more time for this season. Merry Christmas, everybody. And a Happy New Year. Indeed, indeed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.